Welcome to the CX Goalkeeper Podcast, where we unlock the winning edge through conversations with industry experts and thought leaders. Each episode explores how transforming business through human experience creates real impact. Join us for actionable insights and fresh perspectives that inspire success. Follow, rate, and review the podcast on your favorite platform. The next episode could spark your next big idea.
Big news! The CCW Europe Summit 2025 is just around the corner. October's must-attend CX event. The CX Goalkeeper podcast is exploring key themes from the summit to help you be fully prepared. Join Europe's top CX leader to benchmark, network, and co-create in an environment built for innovation. Spots are limited. Register now using the code CXGoalkeeper20, I repeat, CXGoalkeeper20, to save 20% on your ticket. Click the link in the show notes and secure your spot today. Let's shape the future of customer experience together.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Today I'm super thrilled because I have Emmanuel Magnonganese together with me. How are you, Emmanuel?
Very well, Greg. Very well. How are you?
Very well. Super thrilled. Sorry for the pronunciation of the name. I tested, trained a bit before that. It was not so good, but this discussion will be a blast, and I'm quite sure that the audience will enjoy that, and for sure they will also find all the information related to you in the show notes, and they can follow you and then chat with you. Today we are going to discuss about evolving personalization. Everybody's speaking about that. And Emmanuel will share with us the secrets of staying ahead in customer experience. Super keen to kick off the discussion, but as usual, and the audience know that, first of all, we want to learn about you. Emmanuel, could you please introduce yourself?
Okay. First of all, I'm honored to be here. Thank you for having me. And I am looking forward to the discussion. My name is Emmanuel Magnonganese, and currently I'm a customer experience strategy advisor with more than 15 years of experience in strategy, customer experience strategy, design and implementation. And that's across banking industry, telco, and also technical consulting. And in addition, it's also across the continent. So I've worked in Europe, in North America, in Africa, and in Asia. And yeah, customer experience is near and dear to my heart, and I get excited when we start talking about AI and how that's going to power customer experience to be able to deliver those experiences that have been eluding us for so long. Briefly, I started my career in consulting. That was in Accenture a long time ago. So I did 10 years there, and then after that, I moved to Vodafone in the UK. In consulting, my area was process design, redesign, process optimization, business transformation. But what we were doing at the time was very much limited to the technology we're deploying. So I attribute my customer experience journey to Vodafone. So at that time, telcos were realizing that they cannot compete by prices or by products. So they really have to deliver on experience. And that's where I started my journey. And then after that, like I said, and then I've done so strategy implementation and design across the world. And in 2023, I did my executive MBA at NCAD in France. And that allowed me to then move to banking and also to move from Dubai to Riyadh, and also maybe working on a more senior level, which is where I am right now.
Thank you very much, Emmanuel. But now, if you said that you are a former Accenture, I'm not going to ask the next question, what are your values? Because I worked there, and the first day working for Accenture, and I want always state that it was an outstanding, a great experience. I suggest everybody to do. But we practiced our core values several times. Joke aside, what are the values that drive your career?
So one thing to say before I actually answer your question directly is that my values have slowly evolved. They have changed with time. So I did left Accenture a long time ago. But right now, one that has stayed for me anyway is that it's the continuous intellectual stimulation, which goes hand in hand with lifelong learning. So I have a curious mind. I always want to learn new things. I read a lot. Secondly, it's I I'm an evangelist of fairness in my life in general, but also even at work. I just want things to be fair. I like people to be treated fairly. I want decisions to be made in a fair way, or the process to do anything, it has to be fair. So I really advocate for fairness. And lastly, I'm an evangelist of courage. I try to encourage people to step out. I think I've noticed in life many people are afraid to do things. They don't do anything because they're afraid that they might fail, or they've been told that they are a failure, or for whatever reason, they don't do things, they don't act. So I try to encourage people, especially young people, to act and step out.
Thank you. And also stepping out from reading and listening to podcasts to being part of a podcast, to be part of this discussion. Super keen. Thank you very much. And now let's kick off the game. Evolving personalization, the secret to staying ahead in customer experience. You are an expert in this field, and therefore I would like to start from the beginning that we all can understand more about this topic. How does personalization go beyond simply addressing customer by names or by some traits to create truly tailored experiences?
So that's a good starting point, right, where we kind of need to understand what current personalization is, and then how it can evolve or how it should evolve to true personalization, as I call it. So I'm a member of the Emirates. I'm an Emirates Gold member. And every time I fly the Emirates, when I step on the plane, one of the cabin crew members come to me and they say, "Hello, Emmanuel. How are you doing? It's good to have you back. If you need anything, let us know." I've never really asked for anything per se, but it kind of feels good, right? So, and in general, it does feel good when your service provider, when they remember your name or your favorite coffee or just say, "Welcome back." It's good, but it's basic. It does create a connection with the customer, but not a really, really strong connection with customers. And in a way, you will see that maybe as we go along with this conversation, that is not quite sufficient, right? The next level is when sometimes providers, they use your preferences and your history to suggest some new products or offers to you, which again, in a way, it's good. It's not bad. But what you will see again, it's got its shortcomings, because usually that's done from a sales and marketing perspective, right? As soon as you buy a product, when you now have a problem or an issue, suddenly it's no longer personal. Suddenly you're no longer special. Then now you go to the branch, they tell you to call the call center, you call the call center, they tell you to send an email and pillar to post. And then, yeah, it's no longer so good. So that kind of basic personalization, I think it's not very sufficient. I think it's very focused on sales and marketing. And it's also based on a segmentation, right? So if you remember the Emirates example I gave you, the first time you feel very special until you realize that they are saying that to all the gold members, right? And pretty much if you're a platinum member, they probably say something even better. And then you're no longer really, is it really personalization? Maybe it is, maybe it's not. So there is that, it's kind of in segments. And the last thing I want to say about basic personalization is also can be done in silos sometimes, right? So I work for a bank right now. You will have the sales team. They're looking at, okay, let me look at Greg. Well, Greg doesn't have a credit card, so I'm going to sell him a credit card. And they try to make it personal. And then you've got the marketing team. They're looking at Greg and they're saying, "Oh, Greg selected these preferences when he joined the bank. Let me sell him this current account." And then you've got the customer lifetime value team looking at Greg's balance, or current account balance, and saying, "Oh, no, Greg's balance, let's try to make him put more money." So you've got all these apparently personalized services, but they're all in silos. None of them are looking at the complaint you just made 2 weeks ago, right? So again, you see that this basic personalization is great, but it's very limited. I don't know if there's any question before we now go into hyper-personalization.
I think what you're saying, it's really the reality, and focusing also on what you said. I see and I feel a lot of companies are not able to go beyond saying the name because they don't have the infrastructure, they don't have the setup, they don't have the culture, they don't have the mentality. Everybody wants to do AI, wants to leverage AI. Everybody's speaking about the segment of one. It means Emmanuel is one segment, but a lot of companies are far away from that. And therefore, my follow-up question is, what organizational capabilities are crucial for achieving personalization at scale? And how can companies build them to transition from where they are to hyper-personalization?
Right. So that's a good question. So I'd like to start maybe kind of giving a high-level definition of what I'd call hyper-personalization, or the next level compared to what we were talking about, right? So in hyper-personalization, we are trying to engage a customer at an individual level in a very specific and unique way, like you were saying earlier, but also most importantly, taking into account their current situation, the context. And then, and like you said, in most cases, maybe because they don't have the capabilities. But I would say, you know, the main pillars of hyper-personalization, I always try to think of it as the way we relate to each other as human beings, right? For me to actually get you the best birthday present, I really have to know you very well, Greg, right? So it's deep knowledge of the customer. I have to have a memory to remember your birthday, right? So that I can give you your birthday best present. I have to know what you probably already have, because if I buy you the same thing, you're not going to like it. And I might even need to know where you are right now. So you see all these components of what is required to actually make a, you know, a hyper-personalized or the best present. And now if you're looking at organizations to our individual consumers, then you are looking at mostly central data platform. So some people call it a customer data platform, which is more centralized, one single source of truth. So, and of course, AI, because we know the advantages of AI. It's supposed to be faster in thinking, in doing. So if we can have something that can help us to think and do things faster, AI, from a technology point of view, it's necessary. Analytics is also required. I would then also say, from an organization's perspective, data culture, right? That's what we really need to focus on. It's not just data, but the whole culture around it. You know, do we have everyone, all these different departments? If you remember my example earlier, do we have sales and marketing and customer value management and operations and complaints putting data in one place? So that mentality of let's open up our data, let's share the data, and also let's use all the data when we're making decisions. So that's kind of the mentality, the data culture I'm talking about. So that's really important from an organization's perspective. And obviously from a customer experience perspective, it's listening to customers. We need to be able to listen to customers across all the channels. Structured feedback, unstructured feedback, solicited feedback, unsolicited feedback, operational data. We have all that. So having that capability to actually be able to listen to customers and then knowing them and then reacting when we need to, or to act either proactively when we need to. That's really what will be needed to do that.
Thank you very much. Speaking about, for example, data culture, about the data, I think this is really key. And opening up, sharing the data throughout the different silos and ensuring that we know about the past, we know about the present, and we can think about the future of our customer. And I really like this example that you shared, because a lot of companies are saying, but we have all the historical data of our customer. But what it's missing is what you said, the memory about that. Put them together in the context, of the customer. Perhaps, do you have a good example of a company or a business that has excelled in this personalization, and what can we learn from them?
So Netflix and Spotify, they are somewhat close in doing personalization. They have an advantage of that. Sometimes, you know, you don't really interact or engage with them so many times. So they're good examples, and Amazon, they're good examples, but I have a few very interesting ones. So one is, there's one company with an AI tool that actually listens to the customer's voice when he's talking to an agent. It listens to the tone of voice, and it's able to dictate any sentiments within the customer's voice. So it can tell if the customer's getting angry, if the customer's getting confused. So the AI can kind of nudge the agent to try to de-escalate the conversation. And at that time, the agent can de-escalate the conversation, even be able to change from a potentially detracting customers to be a customer who ends up being actually an advocate of the company. Now, that's just one part of it. And now imagine if you combine that with another AI, which actually has a complete view of the customer. Now, what we were talking about earlier, where it's actually knowing 360 degrees of the customer, the complaints that they have, the risk about the customer, you know, the products they have, and maybe an order which has been delayed, right? And then the agent can then be able to say, hey, by the way, we know your order has been delayed, but we're working on it. Or we know that you've got a complaint which is pending, we're working on it. He's not going to try to sell to that customer before they address the complaint. So there are organizations who have started using that. My favorite one, it's in fitness tool. There's a company called Orange Theory in the US. So they have this fitness tool. So what it does is it collects rich data about a customer, about a member, a gym member, right? So it collects their performance, their past performances, your goals. It collects your diet, your music. It collects the exercises that you like, analyze all of that, and then be able to offer, suggest some exercises for you. So it's like you have a nutritionist and a DJ and a gym instructor all in one, right? And when your performance is changing, it starts also adjusting the exercise that it gives to you, which is really great. It's like, this is like hyper-personalized because that only what you get is very specific to you. So it is kind of a lot to ask for organizations to get there. So I guess there are steps that organizations can start to take to walk towards sort of that kind of level of personalization.
That's a very cool example, because I think fitness, it's also important for us, for people. And having all this opportunity with music, with and nutrition and so on, that's the future. There are a lot of people discussing about longevity, and I am also seeing and testing some of these apps, and it's really cool to get these personalized suggestions really related to me and to my context. I would like that my Apple Watch would understand when I'm stressed and it's not continuously asking me, oh, you should do your exercise, you should do your exercise. I know, but I can't.
Exactly.
Do that.
Exactly. That's amazing. Yes.
So
yes.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And now you shared one example, and I know for several companies, it's already the future, but let's speak about future trends and innovation in hyper-personalization. How can businesses prepare for that to stay competitive?
Okay, so for trends, I would, you know, I'm not going to try to go too far into the future, but maybe for me, if you remember what I said earlier about current personalization is very focused on marketing and sales. What I would like to see is more personalization on, you know, for customer support, you know, when I have an issue, let it be as personalized. Let the whole journey be personalized, right? Again, if you go to my Emirates example, the personalization is only when I get on the plane. But what if when I miss my flight? What if when I lose my bag? You know, they're still going to personalize that. And that's I really want to see that happening from a personalization perspective, like end to end, so that we don't have inconsistent experiences or isolated good experiences, but the whole end-to-end journey. I also want to see more of content personalization. So there is I just met recently, 2 days ago, there's a guy who has got a bank called Araji, and he was telling me about their new app. And the guy says, I'm spending so much time in the app because the content they have for me is so relevant. He actually feels engaged. So it's no longer just like an interaction, it's an engagement. He says, I spend more time than, you know, the time I used to spend on social media, I'm actually spending it inside the app of my bank. So content personalization for me, it's something that I really, really would like to see. And there's one more thing which I'm quite keen to see, but let me see, what is it? We can get back to that one, but I'll answer that maybe a little bit later.
Yes, because we are going in a few minutes to speak about the future, and then we can discuss about this additional topic. You are an expert in this topic. You know a lot of things. If you had to give one piece of advice to leaders starting or willing to scale this personalization journey, what would it be?
One piece of advice. So I would say, be curious. I would say experiment. It's one piece, but it's got pieces to it. So experiment, be curious, be adaptable, be willing to try. And like I always say to people, try don't try to be right all the time. Try to be less wrong with time. So that means actually act, do something, get it wrong, and then try it again and learn from it and experiment and try again. So it's basically, yes, instead of trying to be right all the time, try to be less wrong with time. That would be my advice.
Thank you very much in this personalization field. Now we are coming to an end of this discussion of this game. And I still have three questions in the extra time for you in the last 3 minutes of this podcast. Fast forward, in 10 years from now, we are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we are discussing about?
Okay. We will be discussing about hyper-personalization combined with AI, combined with Internet of Things. So here I'm talking about having your kettle really hyper-personalized, having your sofa hyper-personalized, having almost every tool we use in life using AI and all hyper-personalized. And we'll be talking about maybe which one is doing the best job so far in terms of the things that you have in the house or outside the house. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Thank you. And if somebody would like to discuss this topic with you, what's the best way to contact you?
LinkedIn is the best way. Always I'm very active there and I'm always checking my LinkedIn. So it's Dr. Emmanuel Manyonganise. You can find me there. I will respond. I'm very also responsive.
Thank you very much. And now we are coming to the last question. Is Emmanuel Golden Nugget, it's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience with?
I would say something we discussed. And I think the really exceptional experiences will be driven by highly personalized agents supported by good data culture and very specific AI solutions. So those three things, very specific AI solutions, data, and highly personalized agents, that's what will really deliver exceptional experiences in the near future.
Thank you very much. And I think this is the perfect receipt to create hyper-personalization, to create excellent experiences to the customer with these three main ingredients that you share with us. Emmanuel, thank you very much for your time. It was a great pleasure to have you on the CX Goalkeeper podcast.
Thank you, Greg. I enjoyed it as well.
Emmanuel, please stay with me. To the audience for today, it's everything. I hope that you enjoyed this discussion as much as I did. Please feel free to reach out to Emmanuel or to me for any question. As you know, feedback is a gift. Please share it with us and we will come back to you as soon as possible. Thank you very much and bye-bye.
Thanks, Greg. Bye.